This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Support for MPB comes from Trustmark, offering a range of mortgage, affordable housing, refinancing, and construction financing options designed to serve the needs of its customers. More info at trustmark.com/mortgage. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Money Talks. Kevin Farrell here with Dr. Nancy Lotrich-Anderson, president of New Perspectives, and Ryder Taft, portfolio manager at New Perspectives. They're both chartered financial analysts, and Ryder also holds the certificate in investment performance measurement from the CFA Institute. Do you need help finding a job? What if you could work from home? Whether it's a full-time professional job or an additional side job, our guest Bree Reynolds from Flex Jobs may be able to help to get started and give you some advice about working from home. And our chartered financial analysts are here, as always, to help with your personal finance questions. Contact us by email. The address is money@mpbonline.org. Good morning, Nancy. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Doing well.
And Ryder, good to have you with us, as always.
Good morning, Kevin.
All right, so financial news in the news. Nancy, we'll give you first shot.
Well, we're still just watching for some more fiscal stimulus. And fiscal stimulus is simply the government putting money in our pockets, whether it's through direct spending or tax cuts. We got some executive orders from the president this past weekend. We're trying to figure out, does that really help us? Possibly. But for people collecting unemployment, they're still going to see a gap as they're pulled back to just what the state is paying them. And we don't have any word on any additional extra payments going to families, which is what we saw earlier, and no support yet for small businesses. So we're hoping that Congress will come back and come to some agreement and offer us some help as we go through this.
Go ahead, Ryder.
Well, one thing that caught my eye, we spoke a week or so ago about day trading, and one app or brokerage that I singled out a little bit was Robinhood, which it does particularly tries to make it easy to buy and sell low price stocks and kind of encourages the kind of entertainment aspect of it. They have announced that they are cutting off third party access to kind of what the hot stocks on their platform are. So they're going to make it a little less of an entertainment show. I hope this is them growing up a little bit as a brokerage and realizing that, you know, we are dealing with folks' life savings and things like that. And so just interesting changes there. Hopefully being a more serious brokerage will be good for investors in the long run.
Nancy, a quick follow-up on that, withholding the payroll tax. And again, if I'm understanding this correctly, it's withheld by your employer, but it's actually the responsibility of the employee to pay. So am I hearing correctly that if it's withheld, that eventually it's, at this point, it would have to be repaid?
At this point, it's just a deferral, and that leaves a lot of employers scratching their heads and saying, well, maybe we should not do this, because if it becomes due later on, that means there are two sides to that. That's what the employee pays out of your paycheck, but then the employer matches that piece, 7.65 times two there, that will be due in January. So everyone is really concerned about even pursuing this. In my small company, I don't think we're going to change our deductions at this point. In larger companies, it's even more difficult for them to make temporary changes in payroll when it's set up a certain way. So I'm not sure how much this is going to help or if people will even adopt this.
So obviously the executive order cannot force employers to do this.
Correct. That's true.
All right. Obviously, this whole thing is not over. Congress, I think, still has the opportunity to pass legislation. So we will continue to monitor relief legislation and measures as they progress. We do have a guest on our show today, and it's the career development manager and coach, Bree Reynolds from Flex Jobs. Good morning, Bree. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
If you would, tell us a little bit about Flex Jobs.
Sure. So FlexJobs has a job search website similar to other sites, but we specialize in remote jobs. So we've been pretty busy over the last few months helping people find work from home jobs and things like that. But we've been around since 2007, and we post full-time, part-time, remote jobs, and also things like freelance jobs and flexible schedules, essentially anything that is flexible, hence FlexJobs, that gets you out of that 9-to-5 in-office typical schedule.
So what do you think FlexJobs does to make job searching easier?
Oh, there are a few things. So first, we have a team of job researchers who are on staff, and they make sure that every job and company that's posted to our site is screened before it actually gets posted. So if for somebody who is looking for a job that lets them work from home, for example, instead of having to look on multiple different sites and do all that screening themselves to find the really good kind of professional level jobs, they can just come to FlexJobs and have that clean database to work with. So we hope we eliminate some of that time spent figuring out where those jobs are, and then the job seeker can focus that time more on their applications and putting their best foot forward.
So you mentioned sort of the job vetting, vetting the jobs before they're posted. What are the sorts of things that you look for in a job opportunity before it's posted to the site?
There are a few different things. So one of the things with the work from home job market is that unfortunately there's a lot of scams out there. And we see that now, especially during the pandemic, the scammers come right out and are just trying to take advantage of people who are in real need of work. And so we rule out things that have no contact information or no company identifying information. If we can't find and contact the company, we rule those out. We look at things like Better Business Bureau ratings and other online ratings and reports and things like that to make sure that they are above board. And we also look for any evidence in the news, any, you know, radio segments or anything like that, that show that this type of scam has been done in the past, so we can rule those out. So that way we're just verifying that everybody is a real employer with real jobs.
I would think that, you know, the situation we're in with the coronavirus is a boon to people wanting to work remotely, work from home. Were you seeing a trend before the coronavirus that this was an increasing way for people to try to make a living and to work?
Yeah, we've actually seen, so we were founded in 2007, right before the Great Recession. And we noticed even during that recession that the remote job listings and flexible job listings increased. Even as the economy was shrinking, jobs were being eliminated, that part of the economy grew and has grown steadily every year since we were founded. And even before that, actually, if you look at Bureau of Labor Statistics information and things like that, remote work in particular has grown very steadily over the last 15 years or so, and since the pandemic has continued to grow. So we actually saw a 20% increase in remote job listings in July over June. So it definitely looks like this is a trend that's going to continue.
So if someone is interested and goes to, I guess, your site, do they sign up for an account? What's the procedure for the job seeker?
That's a great question. So we're a little bit different than job search sites in that we are a paid membership site for job seekers. So job seekers can go and actually get a lot of free stuff if they're not members. There's lots of support information, good info on getting your resumes and cover letters ready for remote jobs and things like that. To get access to the full listings with all of the information and application information, they have to sign up for a membership, and that's what helps support our job research team, helps us really focus on screening those jobs and making it that curated database. And then for members, they also get access to support services like career coaches. I'm one of those. Job search training webinars. We have LinkedIn learning courses that are free for our members, and skills testing and education opportunities. So we try to support people to make them as successful as possible at finding a remote job.
If you could give us an idea of some of the things that you would do as a coach, what types of advice and information can you give job seekers without getting into too much of the things that people would pay for, of course, but just a general idea.
No, I'm happy to share some of it. So there's so many different things, but I talk to people who've either been laid off or are returning to work after a career break. Maybe they've stayed home with kids and they're headed back into the workforce. People who are transitioning from an in-office job to a remote job. And really a lot of it is just that job search process. What does it look like for remote jobs? How to get your resumes and cover letters together. And one of the biggest things that we do talk about are resumes for remote jobs and how you can make yourself stand out, which is basically including your remote experience. If you have any previous experience working remotely, And even that means working at a distance from other people. So if you're in one office and you're on the phone and email collaborating with somebody in a completely different location, that can count. So we talk about all those little things you can do to make yourself stand out to get a job that lets you work from home.
If you have a question for our experts, you can send an email to money@mpbonline.org. We'll continue our discussion of working from home after the break with the coach from Flex Jobs. Before the pandemic, were there a lot of remote workers here in Mississippi? We'll find out next. This is Money Talks on MPB Think Radio.
Information presented on Money Talks is meant to provide general information about the topics discussed and is not necessarily the opinion of Mississippi Public Broadcasting. The information presented does not create any type of relationship between the hosts and guests and the listening audience. Please consult a financial advisor or any other qualified professional for guidance about your personal finance questions.
Hi, I'm Walt Grayson. You can now listen to the wild, weird, and wonderful stories of Mississippi with Mile Marker.
Slowly we started, you know, picking these turtles up and saving them.
I'll stop traffic, grab one out of the road.
And then our friends found out and our vet would call us.
Join me as we hit the roads of Mississippi on Mile Marker.
We are now a full-fledged nonprofit turtle rescue.
You can listen by going to mpbonline.org/radio or by using your favorite podcasting app, Mile Marker, a Mississippi Roads podcast.
You're listening to Money Talks. Our website, moneytalks.mpbonline.org, is one way to hear past Money Talks broadcasts. You can also download the MPB Public Media app and listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand. Kevin Farrell here with Dr. Nancy Lotridge-Anderson, president of New Perspectives, and Ryder Taft, portfolio manager at New Perspectives. Here's a fact from flexjobs.com. Colorado is the state with the highest remote worker population at 7.9%, with Boulder having the highest at 14.9%. Mississippi is the state with the lowest remote worker population, just 2.2%, with Jackson having the lowest remote worker population, 1.5%. Our guest today is Bree Reynolds. She's a career development manager and coach from Flex Jobs. So, Bree, if you could help us with some terminology, remote worker, working from home, and telecommuting, if you could maybe tell us the differences between those three terms.
Sure. So they're all different ways to say pretty much the same thing. So with remote work, it is any sort of work that takes you out of the office and working primarily from home. That's the same with telecommute, virtual. They're all just different ways to kind of say the same thing. There are different levels of working from home. So if you are in the market for that sort of job, that's one thing to pay attention to. Some are completely from home, so you're working all the time remotely. And then some jobs are in office some of the time and at home other days. So you might have, you know, 3 days at home and 2 days in the office, something like that. So it's really important to pay attention to job descriptions. But essentially, the wording is really just dependent on how the employer likes to describe it. We see remote and virtual as kind of the big ones, the ones that are used most often right now.
So one of the obvious benefits, I think, from remote work would be in the pandemic would be that you're less likely to come in contact with someone who has COVID-19. But Bree, what would you say some of the other benefits to working from home are?
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen that with past flu seasons as well, that remote work tends to uptick during those times when illness can be spread very easily in the workplace. But there are so many other benefits. So things like work-life balance, reduced commute stress if you're not having to go to the office every single day. You can be a bit more independent with your location, so you don't have to be in one place all the time in that city area or that area wherever you're working. You can also save a pretty good amount of money if you're working from home full-time. And then there's your environment. Environmental impact, of course. If you're not commuting every day, you are putting less carbon emissions out there. And you can just make a more comfortable office for yourself, too. But I think one of the biggest things is just the overall control that you have in each of these areas. So your work environment, your work-life balance. When you work from home, you're just given a lot more control over all those aspects of your life.
Bree, I'd like to follow up on what Kevin had asked about kind of the difference in terminology and stuff. What, you know, I see a lot of kind of companies offering you know, a virtual assistants, and it's, you know, my company, I guess they're doing all the hiring and training. I'm not sure exactly how those arrangements work, but how are those different from just remote work connections that y'all offer, and how do they work with y'all, or do they at all?
Oh, that's such a good question. So yes, we do get, usually it's companies coming to us hiring for those types of positions. So virtual assistant, for example. We do see sometimes there are staffing firms and staffing agencies that specialize with remote work. And virtual assistants is actually one of the ones that we see most often with those, but we see it for customer service and sales and even education and accounting and things like that. And so we have companies come to us to post their jobs, and then we also go out and seek remote jobs that are posted elsewhere so we can kind of bring them all together in one place.
Rutter, what's your experience been like working from home?
Oh, it's great. I think one of the, you know, the key things that I personally enjoy, you know, in the pandemic, we went to remote only work in our office. I did go in to check the mail and, you know, do just various essential tasks in the office. But for the most part, we were 100% remote only. And we are phasing back into the office now with a lot of precautions. But working from home, you know, saving on the commute time was big, but I felt just the flexibility of being home. And, you know, if I had a complicated, you know, if I wanted to start cooking dinner early, you know, I could just go put it on in the kitchen while I'm still working. It wasn't an interruption to take care of small tasks around the house during the day. You know, I wouldn't have to say, oh, I need to run home and, you know, fix the AC, or let someone in, you know, let's let a plumber in or something like that. I think just the kind of seamlessness of being able to be home and at work at the same time was very interesting.
Nancy, could you share your work from home or remote work experiences with us?
Well, first I want to qualify that by saying I don't have children at my feet. And that does make a big difference for those families who have children at home that they're trying to monitor, keep entertained, keep going with schoolwork while you're trying to work at the same time. It really becomes quite complicated when that happens. But I will echo what Ryder said, having that flexibility. For me, it's, the dryer buzzer just went off. I can go get the clothes out of the dryer, keep going with laundry. There's a break in my day. I can take a walk down the street, get a little more exercise. So you have more flexibility in all of that. But you also miss out on some things. You miss out on the camaraderie and the team building and bouncing those ideas back and forth. So Ryder and I are partners in a business. We have two other employees. We have to work really hard to make sure everybody stays connected and that we're on the same page and that we're communicating well. And so we do a Zoom staff meeting every week. We'll have one this afternoon. But even that takes effort to get into that rhythm, to make sure we're all speaking to each other, everybody knows what's happening. And for anybody who considers remote work, if you want to continue to work remotely, you need to show your employer that you're getting the job done.
This is Money Talks, and today we're visiting with Bree Reynolds. She's a career development manager and coach from Flex Jobs, talking about working from home, remote working, however you would like to call it. Bree, one of the things that Mississippi is sort of struggling with as we decide about virtual learning for the students going back to school this fall is the need for high-speed internet. How important is technology and access to technology when it comes about working from home?
Yeah, that is one of the things that we find is sort of the dividing line where we see high rates of remote work versus lower rates of remote work is that high-speed internet access. And so I think we're seeing that even more so with virtual learning. I have a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old at home and have for the past 5 months. So what Nancy said before about working from home with kids echoed very strongly over here. But in terms of, the tools that you need to work from home, high-speed internet is usually one of the more important things to have. So that is something I'm hoping that this current situation, you know, there are some there's more effort and attention and funding paid towards getting high-speed internet to places that don't have it yet.
Who do you think, what sort of attributes help someone be a successful worker from home, do you think?
Yeah, there's a few things. I think Nancy definitely mentioned some, you know, being able to report and communicate really well with your managers and your coworkers and being proactive about that communication. One of the things that we find with people who work from home is that the body language piece is missing. So your manager can't see if you're frustrated at your desk or you look bored or you look nervous or anxious. So they're not going to pick up on those cues when you might need some assistance or some extra work if you don't have a lot to do. So being proactive and saying and having those conversations with your manager or your coworkers to say, hey, I need some help with this, or I think I'm missing some information, and letting them know when you do hit those roadblocks is really important. The ability to work independently is also very important. You know, being a good self-manager, keeping yourself on task. I know I've worked from home since 2009, and the laundry is still one of those things that I will distract myself with if I'm trying to avoid some, you know, project that I don't quite want to dive into. So you have to really be able to focus and say, nope, I'm not going to do those things around the house. And also set up your workspace and your environment with whoever might be at home with you right now in a way that you can really focus when you need to. So, it's a lot of self-management for sure.
Bree, one thing I've heard is that kind of picking up on that last point, that if you are working from home, establish an area in your house that is, quote unquote, your office, so that maybe when you are doing that work from home and you're in that space that's specifically designated for that, you are less distracted about watching TV, getting something from the refrigerator, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. It can be really helpful just to have that space that is officially your workspace. And I've seen some creative things done in really tiny homes or apartments where people put up dividers in a corner of their room so that they just feel like they're going to work every day. Instead of, you know, if you're working from your couch or your kitchen table or a different place each day, you don't necessarily have that mindset when you're going that this is the place that I work and I'm getting into this and I'm really going to focus. So it can help even just to have a divider, you know, a little corner in a room, or some people have turned a little closet in their house into a tiny home office. So there's some creative things you can do, but I definitely think having a dedicated space is really helpful.
When I worked from home during the beginning of this pandemic, one of the challenges for me was to sort of, I guess, going to work every day, you get in that routine and that sort of thing. And sometimes at home, Monday was Tuesday. What day of the week is this? Is it Friday? Is it Thursday? That sort of thing. So I had a little bit of trouble, you know, kind of just getting into a rhythm working from home. Bree, is that sort of common? And what sort of suggestion might you give for someone who maybe is not getting that routine going when they first start?
It is very common. So I think that's the first thing to know is that it's going to happen, almost certainly will happen your first few weeks working at home. There's kind of a honeymoon period the first few days where you think this is great, I'm so comfortable, I can really do this. And then all of a sudden you lose that focus and that adrenaline kind of wears off. And you have to get through those first rocky weeks. I think setting up a routine, trying to work similar hours every day, and also finding ways to hold yourself accountable, whether it's checking in with your coworkers, scheduling different meetings, making sure that somebody is going to be asking you what you're working on a regular basis, or just saying, okay, I'm going to email my boss every 2 days to let her know what I'm working on. And I also think during the pandemic, especially, people really have to give themselves a break, because this is the least ideal circumstance to be working from home when everybody else in your household is home. The world is very stressful. The news is stressful. And there's so many things to think about right now outside of work. And then you also have to get your work done. So I think you have to give yourself a break and know that this is a far less than ideal situation for working from home. So if you can do it now, you can probably do a really good job when things, hopefully, knock on wood, get back to normal. And you know, you're kind of alone at home in your workspace.
We'll continue our discussion about working from home with Bree Reynolds, career development manager and coach from Flex Jobs, in just a bit. What about your financial situation if you're a remote worker? We'll have some statistics for that next. You're listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio.
I'm Allison Walker, the Lady Auto Mechanic, host of AutoCorrect. Try my podcast, AutoCorrect. We help steer you in the right direction with your car problems. Find me on any podcast platform or at autocorrect.mpbonline.org.
Money Talks is MPB Think Radio's personal financial broadcast. Kevin Farrell here with Dr. Nancy Lotrick-Janderson, president of New Perspectives, and Ryder Taft, portfolio manager at New Perspectives. Nancy and Ryder are both chartered financial analysts. Ryder holds the certificate in investment performance measurement from the CFA Institute. Here's a fact from FlexJobs.com. The average remote worker earns a higher median salary than an in-office worker, and the average person can save at least $4,600 annually by working remotely. Our guest today is Bree Reynolds. She's a career development manager and coach from FlexJobs. Before we dive back into working from home, though, we do have an email here that asks, does the executive order on payroll taxes also defer quarterly tax payments? Nancy, do you know the answer to that one?
Well, the quarterly tax payments will include those Social Security and Medicare payments, as well as federal income tax. So you're still going to have federal income tax that will be due. Now, if they're talking about an employer who's doing those quarterly payments, then they're going to still have to keep doing those. If they're talking about quarterly estimates based on your income taxes, those will still be due. So the payroll tax, which relates to FICA, Social Security, and Medicare deductions, is different than income tax.
All right. Again, our guest, Bree Reynolds. Bree, we just had that statistic about the average remote worker earning a higher median salary. Why do you think the reasons for that are? What are the reasons for that?
There's a few different factors that go into that. So remote workers tend to have more experience. They tend to be experienced professionals that are at least, you know, 5, maybe even 10 years into their career. So there are fewer entry-level remote workers than there are experienced. They usually also have a higher education level. So there's an earning potential that increases with that as well. And as you mentioned, you know, people can save a lot of money by working from home. So I think that's one factor why people go into it. There's also the way that remote companies set salary for remote workers. So some companies will set it based on where they are located, wherever their headquarters is. And then some companies will set the salary based on where the remote worker is. So it's not always that you're going to be earning that same salary for the location that you're actually living in. You might be earning whatever the average salary is for the position wherever that company is based. So it's a little bit different with remote companies that way.
So in most remote work situations, and this might not be the case, but is it sort of like the bottom line is you need to, I don't know, make 10 widgets, and how you go about making the 10 widgets is up to you, or are some of them more structured than that and we want a widget a week, we want you to, you know, a picture of the widget, that sort of thing?
Yeah, actually, most of the remote jobs that we see at FlexJobs, about 80% of them are employee jobs. So the freelance type of job where you would be sent, you know, certain things to make widgets, for example, or to write articles or to do tax returns, anything like that. Those are more freelance types of positions, which we do see a little bit, but most of the positions that we see are typical employee jobs. So you are an employee of a company. We see, you know, things in customer service, sales, accounting and finance. Education is a big one right now. There's a huge hiring increase for virtual teachers because every, you know, most education is at least somewhat virtual at the moment. And so the jobs that you see for remote jobs are very similar to the types of traditional in-office jobs that you would typically see. And then the structure of those is the same. You know, the workflow, how you get your assignments, all that sort of stuff is very similar.
Okay, so yeah, so the responsibilities and that sort of thing are the same. You're just, it's a, just a different work environment.
Precisely. Yep. Yep. Your employer is still, you know, taking taxes out of your paycheck and all that sort of stuff. You can get benefits if you're full time, health insurance, 401k, those sorts of things. It's all very similar. It just happens to be that you're in a different environment. You're working from home.
We touched on this a little bit ago, but just maybe kind of delve a little bit deeper into it. And you mentioned that you're a parent that works from home. What do you think are some of the special challenges parents face reentering the job market?
Yeah, there are a few things. I've worked with lots of parents who are reentering after taking some time off. And I think really one of the biggest things is the confidence. They just lack that confidence of having been working, having been keeping up with their connections, making new connections. They just feel out of it a little bit. They feel like they have stepped away and they don't know quite where to start and they don't have that confidence to dive right in. But the other thing is the uncertainty of which direction they should go. You know, should they go back to their career or the one that they had before they left, or should they try something new? And for a lot of people, they do wind up changing careers after they have become a parent. They've reevaluated whether they liked that last job or that last type of work that they were doing, and they've decided they want to go into something new. So that's a little bit extra challenging. Not that it can't be done. It certainly can. But it's just something to think about. You know, returning to workforce and changing careers at the same time can be an extra challenge.
And again, you said that a lot of the jobs available are sort of similar jobs that you would have in the office, just a different location. But we did also mention the freelance work and that sort of thing. Again, sort of trends. Are we seeing maybe more of the freelance type of jobs being done from home?
Yes. So there is definitely a pretty steady flow of freelance positions, and that it's been fairly high over the last 10 years or so, just in terms of a lot of freelance jobs can be done from home. And so I think we will also see that continue right now. In the last recession, freelance listings increased because employers often turn to freelancers when they are not sure what the economy holds and what their business will be like, you know, 6 months from now, a year from now, but they need a particular project done. So they'll hire a freelancer for that. So I think that is probably a pretty good indicator of what we will see with the freelance job market right now. And as I said, freelancing has been increasing over the years anyway. The share of people, you know, in the U.S. who are freelancing has gone up quite a bit. And I think it's projected to be something like 50% of the U.S. workforce will be freelance in some capacity, whether that's on the side of a regular job or full time as a freelancer in the next 5 years or so.
But I guess that's a sort of a unique opportunity if you have a specialized skill that you could do the work from home as a part-time job as a freelancer.
Yeah, we see a lot of people who right now are looking to supplement their income. So they might have a job and maybe that's part-time or full-time, but they want to do something on the side almost as a safety net or something like that. Or they're trying to build up a potential freelance career down the road. So they're starting small with something on the side. But yeah, we've definitely seen people who take on small projects that they can do in addition to whatever other work they have going on.
And so do we have any kind of idea of full-time workers from home versus the part-time workers from home?
That's a good question. I think it's pretty evenly split. So we see both, really. There isn't one big segment or other, you know, in terms of full-time or part-time. Most of the jobs that we list on FlexJobs, I think it's just over 50%, something like 55%, are the full-time types of positions. And then we see part-time. The trick with part-time is that the hours can vary really widely for that. So some part-time jobs are 10 hours or 20 hours a week. And then we also see some employers listing part-time jobs that might be 30 hours a week, which technically fall into the full-time category in terms of benefits and things like that. But because they're not a full 40-hour a week job, they might be listed as part-time. So for some, it just kind of depends on the hours that you're looking for.
This is Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. We're visiting with Bree Reynolds, Career Development Manager and Coach from Flex Jobs. We're talking about working from home, remote working, telecommuting, a number of different words that we can use to describe it. Nancy and Ryder have been listening along. Any thoughts, any questions? Nancy, maybe we'll start with you.
Well, I think what's happening as we go through this pandemic is employers are looking at this and thinking, why am I maintaining office space in very expensive cities when my employees can be doing the same work at home? And so that's going to be an issue. What is work going to look like when we get to the other side of this? There is some thought that it's going to be some hybrid mix, because we're also finding that a lot of employees are really happy to be working at home, depending on what the job is and your own situation, because it gives you that flexibility. And so this is going to be interesting to see as we get through the next year or two, how our jobs change, how the structure changes, and what happens to all that office space out there.
Nancy brought up a good point in that we've been talking about some of the benefits to the employee, but as she mentioned, employers might benefit from workers working remotely as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was one of those things where before the pandemic, we saw a pretty small percentage overall in terms of the number of people who were working from home full time. It was about 4.9%, I believe, of the U.S. workforce. And then part-time remote workers were maybe about 50%. So that hybrid situation that Nancy was talking about, where it's sometimes in the office and sometimes from home. And what we're really seeing is that the pandemic has been this big test for employers to see, does remote work actually work from them? Did the fears they had about remote work, making people not work as hard and all that sort of stuff, did those come true or were people actually productive? And by and large, what employers are finding is that people have been more productive, and then they're also able to save on office space, the overhead, office supplies and things like that, just by this massive shift. So it's been an interesting experiment to see how that comes out, but it seems like most employers are pleasantly surprised at how well it has worked. And like I said before, even in these circumstances that are far less than ideal.
And Ryder, you've been listening along as well. Here's a chance to jump in.
Yeah, so what has been interesting to me, and Bree did a good job touching on this, is the differences between, a full-time, a part-time, and a freelance job while you're working from home. And because another thing that has been really eye-opening to me is how the lines get blurred between your personal life and your professional life when you are working from home. And obviously, if you have set hours, that's one thing, all right, it's 5 o'clock, put the computer down, I'm done with work. But if it's, freelance, you can always kind of start a project at 8 o'clock at night or, first thing in the morning. So that's been an interesting thing, and seeing how different folks deal with their scheduling their different tasks and maintaining that balance is very interesting to me.
We'll continue talking about working from home with our guest Bree Reynolds, career development manager and coach from Flex Jobs, after a quick break. What do you think? Are more men or more women remote workers? We'll have that information for you next. You're listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio.
Professor Richard Gershon from the University of Mississippi School of Law, host of In Legal Terms. If you're enjoying this podcast, I encourage you to listen to In Legal Terms, the show about you and your rights. We find interesting legal topics to bring to you and let you know how the law affects you. Find In Legal Terms on any podcasting platform on your smart device or on our website, inlegalterms.mpbonline.org.
Thanks for listening to our show, Money Talks. Kevin Farrell here with Dr. Nancy Lotrich-Anderson, president of New Perspectives, and Ryder Taft, portfolio manager at New Perspectives. Our topic today is working from home, and our guest is Bree Reynolds, career development manager and coach from Flex Jobs. According to a fact on flexjobs.com, about equal percentages of men and women work remotely. So, Bree, thoughts on that? I guess men and women are equally qualified to work from home.
Yeah, it's interesting because sometimes we'll see that, people assume working from home is mostly young guys doing startup companies in their parents' basement and things like that. But the reality is that it is pretty equal for men and women. Most of the people who work from home are mid-level career professionals, and most of them have worked in their field for, 10 or 15 years or so. So the idea of who works from home, which may be flipped on its head after the pandemic is over, it's so interesting to think about what this will look like in the coming year or two. But some of the ideas that we have about working from home are not always true.
So have we missed anything, something about flexjobs.com that you wanted to point out that we've not touched on as yet?
No, I think you covered it pretty well. I'll just say that we as a team at FlexJobs, we always keep coming back to how quickly this landscape is changing in terms of working from home. It's been 5 months, and a majority of people have worked from home at least at some point in the last 5 months, and that's a big change from even just a couple months before the pandemic began. So it'll be interesting. I know Nancy alluded to this, looking at the next year or two to see how employers react to this in the long term. term. And we're just, you know, focused right now on giving people the job search support that they need and offering a lot of options for people who want to work from home. And I will say we do have a lot of free and public webinars that are, the recordings are available. So if you go to flexjobs.com and go to the articles area, you'll be able to find all the videos that we have on finding remote jobs, writing your resume, things like that. So we try to make a lot available to the public to support people who want to work this way.
And we mentioned at the top of the show, but if you could maybe give us an idea, you talked about the website flexjobs.com. What do people see when they go there? And then you said there are some things that are available at no charge, but also you have sort of a tiered thing that has extra benefits.
Yes, that's right. So when you go to flexjobs.com, you can either just start searching for jobs to even see what's out there. You'll be able to see all the listings on the site, just not the application and contact information, but you'll at least get a sense of, are there even jobs listed that you would be interested in applying for? And then if you wanted to actually see the contact information, apply for the jobs, do all of that, that's where the membership kicks in. There is also a section called Job Search Articles, and that is where you can go for all of our free public resources for articles on job searching, all of our webinar recordings. And we actually have a webinar coming up today on recovering from a layoff. That'll be a live webinar that I'm hosting this afternoon. So everybody is welcome to attend that.
And if someone signs up, do they sort of get do you have a certain pool of folks that you work with, or how does it work in terms of the coaching?
The coaching is optional. So if somebody wanted to sign up for coaching or a resume review or something like that, they have that option to do so. But we also offer a weekly group coaching session with FlexJobs members where one of our coaches or sometimes two of our coaches will be on a conference call with everyone, and you can ask your questions and get answers directly from the coach. And that's all included in that membership. So you can, you know, sign up for that weekly thing, or if you want that more one-on-one assistance, that's an option as well.
Nancy and Ryder, what about we know that Congress is sort of deadlocked on more relief from, stimulus bills, relief from the coronavirus. Where do you think we are at in those negotiations? Ryder, we'll start with you. Maybe some thoughts on where we go from here, or if we'll go any further, what might come up in the next weeks and months?
Yeah, so I think one of the big things that has been most directly helpful for people is the extra unemployment payment. The name was the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance. And, you know, we had a good job with the folks from the Mississippi Unemployment and Employment Security Agency talking about that. But I think that has been the most helpful for people who are the most impacted, because if you've lost your job and didn't really have much hope of getting one back, then that unemployment insurance is what got you through. And state unemployment insurance is just, in most cases, is just very small. And the flexibility of the federal dollars, it was a great benefit to not only the people, but also just the states administering it, because that meant that's more money back in that state, more money to support the economy of that state, so the people who do have jobs, you know, are actually working for something and have, you know, those businesses that are staying open have revenue come in. So I think extending that is going to be the most important thing. That being said, you know, we are looking at that being cut. I mean, I think, you know, on one side of the negotiating table, they're talking about $400 is the high end, and on the other side, $200 a week is the low end. And $200 a week extra is, you know, that might be fine for some people who don't really need a lot, and maybe their state unemployment pays a lot as well. But it just doesn't compare with what folks were receiving before.
And Nancy, the way I understand what was in the executive order is that part of the unemployment benefits would be the state's responsibility. And I guess states would have the option of opting in or out of that. Am I correct on that?
Exactly. And the states are going to have to put up a dollar for every $3 that the federal government would put up. So an extra $300 coming from the federal government with $100 coming from states. The problem is states are struggling right now. And what they need in a stimulus bill is some support from the federal government to cover their existing bills. Because remember, state and local governments employ people. And Mississippi has the highest percentage of its workforce who work for some form of government. So if our state and local governments start to see their revenue shrink to the point that they have to cut budgets and they don't get assistance, we're going to see more job layoffs.
And maybe in the final minute we have here, and I'm asking you both maybe to look into a crystal ball, how optimistic are you that Congress will come together and somehow compromise between, I think it's the $2 trillion difference in what maybe the Democrats are offering and thinking and what the Republicans are? And Nancy, we'll give you first shot.
Well, I'm optimistic, actually. I think there's great motivation for both sides to produce something. And I think the longer this goes with a gap where people have lost those enhanced benefits, where the PPP loans for businesses have disappeared, that they're going to start hearing from their constituents. So I think they will eventually get to something. The problem is by the time they do, especially with unemployment, it's going to take a while for that system to gear back up. So be prepared.
All right, Ryder, give you the final word on that.
While I am generally very optimistic about a lot of things, I feel that in the coming few months there are too many distractions and just too many escape valves or ways out that politicians are going to have. You know, they're going to say, oh, maybe we don't want to do this too close to the election, or, oh, I mean, look, the stock market is very high. You know, the stock market is really anticipating that they're going to step up a lot more. And I think politicians don't realize that. Like Nancy said, there is, you know, we did have good appetite for a lot of assistance before. And I think that, you know, there has a lot of constituents who need this help. So hopeful, but not optimistic.
All right. That's going to wrap us up for today. Money Talks is a production of MPB Think Radio and is funded in part by the generous financial support of our listeners. To hear today's show or a previous show, visit moneytalks.mpbonline.org or listen to the podcast. Just search for Money Talks. Our show is produced by Liz Gill, and our call screener today was Java Chapman. So for Dr. Nancy Lotridge-Anderson, Ryder Taft, and our guest Bree Reynolds, I'm Kevin Farrell. Join us every Tuesday at 9 for Money Talks on MPB Think Radio.
Support for MPB comes from Trustmark, offering a range of mortgage, affordable housing, refinancing, and construction financing options designed to serve the needs of its customers. More info at trustmark.com/mortgage. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.